All right, John chapter 13. Now this morning I'm going to teach on something that's a bit odd. It's a teaching that some of the churches today teach a little different, and they do a little different, and that is the subject of washing of feet. Now everybody should have good hygiene, amen? But how many of you ever been to a church or know a church that actually has a foot washing service? Well, if you've ever been to one, it's a strange ordeal. Okay, there are churches today that when you come in, they will actually have you take your feet and put them up there, and they will actually put a thing in water and they'll wash each other's feet. Okay, and you get that from John chapter 13, and. My opinion is this. I think if we were to have an actual foot washing service, I don't think there would be that many people show up. Amen? Because, you know, it's not so much the people getting their feet washed, it's the people doing the washing of the feet. It's going to be a shortage there. I know my wife would never do something like that, and I'm not real sure I would either, especially, you know, when I start thinking about, you know, different people's feet. Okay? Amen, brother. Yes, absolutely. You know, and not only that, but you know, you'd have to have the Lysol and everything else around. But there are some misunderstandings when it comes to the scripture about the subject of foot washing, and I want to try to clear some of that up this morning. I want to show you in scripture what's actually taking place in that passage, and why we don't necessarily have to wash somebody's feet physically. Okay, look if you would, starting at John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Now I tell you what, that's a great verse right there. He loved them unto the end. You know, that's one thing you can count on today, is the fact that the Lord loves you. Amen? All right, look at verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. You know, Peter was always one of those that it just seemed like he always said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Amen? I mean, he was just, you know, he was the one who jumped up out of all the disciples and says, Lord, I'll never deny you. We saw how that worked out. And then here he said, you know, you'll never wash my feet. But now look what Jesus said here. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And then Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save his to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Now that's saying that if you have been washed, you don't need to be washed everywhere, just your feet is what he's saying there. In other words, he's saying you've been clean, but you still need your feet washed. Verse 11, For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Now that right there should give you a clue as to what's going on here, okay? Verse 12, So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now that is the passage right there, especially right there from verse 14 through 17, that people will use to say, hey, you know, when we come to church, we need to actually wash each other's feet, because it says right there in verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And so they say, well, when we come to church, then we ought to be washing each other's feet. But, and they're saying it in a literal sense, okay? But now, I want you to understand that Jesus specifically said this is an example. And he also said, one of you is not clean. Now, if you take this whole thing right here to be literal, that it means we're supposed to be washing each other's feet physically, when he said that there is one here not clean, then that has to be talking about a physical being clean as well. Which means that he would, if he's literally talking about washing somebody's feet in a bowl in a basin here, then if he's talking about the person not being clean, obviously he needs to take a shower. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't say part of it's literal and part of it's not. So what he's doing here, he's giving us an example of him washing the disciples' feet, and that we should, in turn, be doing the same thing. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor, I mean, are you one of those people now that think we need to wash each other's feet physically? No. Okay. Peter here, notice that he said that you're never going to wash my feet, but Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Now, let me ask you something. Are you not saved by grace alone? Okay, if you take that to mean literal, then you're saying if we do not literally wash each other's feet and you don't get your feet clean, then you have no part with Christ. Is that true today? No. Once you're saved, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't say that you have no part of Christ unless we physically wash each other's feet here. Okay, but Peter says, well, you know, after the Lord says, well, listen, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me, then Peter says here, well, in that case, wash me from head to toe then. Good answer. Amen. That's what I'd be saying too. But Jesus says everything, basically he says here that everything does not need to be washed again, just that which comes in contact with the earth. In other words, he's saying, listen, you're clean, but the part of you that you walk on, that is what needs to be cleaned. Right? Well, I mean, if you think of it in a literal sense, that's true because, you know, if you wash yourself and all of a sudden you go walk and check the mail out in the parking lot, your feet might get a little dirty. He's saying because that comes in contact with the earth. And so he's teaching us something here. And so basically he says we need to wash, the feet needs to be washed. And it is the Christian's responsibility to help others get clean before God. Yeah, that is part of our responsibility. You know what the pastors need? You know what every Christian needs? We need accountability. We need people that will keep us accountable. You know, that's the reason why pastors should have men in the church that keep him accountable. You as Christians should have people that keep you accountable to God. That we are part of our thing, part of our being a Christian is not only are we to encourage one another to, you know, when we go through tough times to stay in there and just trust the Lord, and the Lord will answer prayers, because you know the Lord does answer prayer, amen? But we need to encourage each other to stay in the fight, to encourage each other that the Lord will answer prayers, but we also need to encourage each other to keep on walking for the Lord and remain steadfast. Listen, Christians today get this idea that if other Christians call them out on something that they're doing wrong, that the other Christians are judging them. Listen, if you see somebody, if somebody sees me doing something that I don't realize I'm doing wrong, I shouldn't take offense if somebody comes up and says, hey, wait a second now, the Bible says this, you need to make sure we're doing everything right here. That's called being accountable. You know, it's not judging somebody else if you point out something they're doing. But Christians today they're fragile. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? You know, if they're doing something, and somebody, another Christian comes up and encourages them not to keep on doing that thing, then the Christian that's doing it usually gets mad and saying that Christian's judging me. Right. That's usually the way it goes. But don't you understand that it's part of a Christian's responsibility to look at another Christian and try to keep him to where he's in fellowship with God, to try to encourage him to stay in a fellowship with God, to try to encourage him to do right and not to bring reproach or to bring shame upon the name of Jesus Christ and the things that he does. Listen, that's something we are to do. And you're not judging somebody if you do it. You're not judging anybody. But you are to do it in a biblically correct. In other words, there's a way of doing it and there's a way not to. You don't have to go up and get nasty with people. Okay? You don't have to say, look, you're living like the devil. Just encourage them to start living right. Okay? And if they get mad at you, as long as you got the scriptures, folks, then really their problem's not with you. Their problem's with the Word of God. Okay? Now, I'll tell you something. That's not a very popular message today. But we're going to see here that's really what Jesus Christ was talking about here when he's talking about the washing of feet. Okay? And it is our responsibility not only to pray for people, but to encourage them whenever they start to get away from the Lord. And so that is our responsibility. Now, this morning I want to look at this subject of feet washing and look here in this passage and show you exactly what was going on. And the first thing I want to show you is exactly what Jesus did here. Okay, what Jesus did here is he rose up, he took a towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. And when he did that, he took the position of a servant. Master doesn't wash somebody's feet, but a servant does. Okay, in Philippians 2:7, it says this about Jesus Christ. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. Do you realize when you're reading right there in John chapter 13, and Jesus girds himself, pours a bucket of water, and starts washing the feet of those disciples, you do realize who's washing the feet there? That's the Creator. That's washing the feet of the creation. Now, you're talking about being a servant. You're talking about teaching us something. You know what? There are Christians today that say, well, I'm above doing this job here, or I'm above doing that. Listen, when it comes to serving the Lord, you're not above doing anything. We need to be servants to the Lord. And it doesn't matter if it's something major, if it's something minor. Let me tell you something, folks. Everything you do for the Lord, you should be doing it as a servant and not be looking like, well, you know, that person over there is doing this and I'm just doing this over here. I wish I could be doing that over there. Listen, we need to be servants. We just need to serve the Lord and forget about what other people are doing. Listen, if the Lord could humble himself enough to where he would actually start washing the... Listen, just like we mentioned it when I first came in here this morning, how many of us would seriously sit down and start washing somebody else's feet? I mean, if I was to take my shoe off and I was to put that thing up there and say, clean that dog up for me. Most people would say, there ain't no way, I ain't touching that thing. But you do realize that God himself girded himself up and started washing the feet of those disciples. And may I tell you, folks, back in those days, if they wore sandals at all, they were very fortunate and very blessed to even have sandals. Most of them walked around barefoot. Now, there's some dirty dogs. Amen? But he washed them. He washed them. God himself washed their feet. And if he would do it, why would we turn our nose up and serve the Lord in anything? Why would we do that? Because we don't have a heart of a servant. He did. And so that certainly is one thing that it teaches us here by what he did was that he has a heart of a servant, and he did show that by washing the disciples' feet. Let me ask this. What are you willing to do for the Lord? Are you willing to do anything that the Lord asks you to do? Are you willing to do anything that the Lord lays upon your heart? If you see something that needs to be done in this church, are you willing to do it? Listen, I have been in churches. Now, I don't want to get too gross here, because it doesn't get any worse than washing feet, I'll tell you that. But you know, I've been in churches where when the toilet started to run over, nobody wanted to clear out that toilet. They come up and said, Pastor, toilet's running over down there. You might want to take a look at that. And I said, well, why don't you do it? Oh, that's gross. Listen, do you think that helps people in the church? Do you think that's serving the Lord? There's nothing wrong with doing that if you know how to do it. Now, if you don't know how to do it, let somebody else do it. Amen. But the truth of the matter is this. Are you willing to serve the Lord? Are you willing to do what it takes? There are some people today say, you know what, I'm beyond being an usher in the church. I want something more than that. Well, listen, we need ushers too. Amen. Some people say, hey, you know, I'm beyond working in a nursery. No, you're not. Listen, it's all about serving the Lord. Well, you know, we need to humble ourselves more. We need to not look at ourselves and lift ourselves up too high. Remember this, if the Lord is willing to wash somebody else's feet, there should be nothing that we should not be willing to do for the Lord. And so that's one of the things that he did here. He showed us that. Now, there are some people today that think that they're greater than their master, but certainly we're not. The world today, they don't think much of Jesus at all, to be honest with you. In fact, the world today hates to hear the name Jesus Christ. And it's not just today. It's been that way for a long time. You read there in the book of Acts. They did not want Peter and them preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They could preach in anybody else's name there on the street, but not the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way it is today. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because this world cannot stand Jesus. You say, well, why is it that this world cannot stand Jesus? Because he is the light. See, the other gods that people worship, those aren't the light. And people love darkness. When you have those other gods being mentioned, that's darkness. They don't have a problem with darkness, but when you mention Jesus Christ, he's the light. And just like I've given you the illustration a thousand times, when you turn on the light in a place where there's lots of cockroaches, what do you see? The second you flip on that light, those cockroaches go boom. Well, I'll tell you this. You go to the mall here in town, and you start talking to somebody about Jesus. You know what you're going to see? Cockroaches. Boom. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you've known these people for years, you start talking to them about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, got an appointment. Oh, got a root canal to go to. And they're gone. Amen? Why? They don't like to hear about the light. People just don't like it. But you can preach anybody else's name. They don't have a problem with it. That should tell you something about who the real God is. Amen? Amen. I mean, that, if there's anything, that is one thing that should certainly show you that. But know this, Jesus Christ, the light, the creator, humbled himself to the point where he was a servant before these disciples. It should have been the disciples washing his feet and bowing his feet. I mean, on the ground before him. But he made himself a servant, and certainly that is an example to us. All right, the second important thing I want you to notice about this passage on foot washing is not only what Jesus did, but when he did it. Look back, if you would, at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world and loved them unto the end, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Here, Jesus knew that he was going to die. He knew that his time to die had come. But he did not consider himself at this time. Now think about this. He was going to die. In fact, he knew that he was going to die that day, on the Passover day. But who was he thinking about? He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about his disciples. He was thinking about other people. You know, the truth of the matter is, folks, we're all going to die unless the Lord comes back first. Amen? And do you know what our example was? Our example that Jesus has given here is that no matter what we go through on this earth while we're living, we still need to think about others more than ourselves. Now, here's the human nature. Especially not, I'm just going to pick on the men a little bit here. As men, sometimes we think about ourselves. When we get sick, men, we don't handle it very well. Amen? We usually don't handle it very well. But the truth of the matter is when we are, all of us, when we're going through things, when we're going through some catastrophic event, whether we're sick or we have a family member sick or maybe we've lost a loved one, we have a tendency to think about who? Think about this. Think about when you're going through your worst time. Think about what you ask for in prayer the most. You know who your prayer is about the most? Ourselves. Now that's human nature. Here, Jesus Christ, he's getting ready to die on the cross. He's getting ready to be hung. I mean, we're talking about the mode of the death penalty that the Romans did here was one of the most brutal things that you could possibly do to a person was crucify him on the cross. Jesus Christ knows that he's going to die that day, but yet the one thing on his mind was not himself, it was the disciples. May I tell you this? Have you ever met somebody that just complains a lot? I mean, it doesn't matter how good things are. Life is just totally horrible for that person. There are some people like that. I tell you this, just when you think you have it real bad, come with me to the nursing home. Come with me to the hospital. And walk room to room and just walk. You don't even have to even say much. Just stick your head in and look. You know what you're going to find out? That there's a whole lot of people right here in this town that have it worse than you do. That's what you're going to find out. You know, and when we're going through, listen, I'm not going to tell you that times aren't going to be tough. I'm not going to tell you that you aren't going to go through some things that are really, really bad. Certainly you are, I am, we're all going to do it because of sin in this world. God never intended it to be like this. It was man who brought sin into this world. It was man who ate the fruit. It's man who sins every day. We're all guilty, and because of this sin in this world, we're going to have to face some tough times. Amen? But when those tough times come, you still need to pray. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, deliver me from what I'm going through here. That's not what I'm saying. You should pray about it. God is still in the miracle business. I mean, he proved that with us buying the building this week, okay? I mean, he's still in the miracle business. He can deliver anybody out of anything. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, help me out here. But we ought not make ourselves the main focus of our prayers. When you read about the prayers that are given in that Bible, you'll find out. I want to challenge you. Every time that you see somebody says, and he spoke to the Lord or he prayed, read those prayers and see how much they talked about themselves. Very little. Very little. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong about asking the Lord, you know, to help you out. But there are still other people that need our prayers. We need to keep other people on our mind as well. But that's just the way we do. And so what Jesus did here is he showed us that maybe we aren't the priority. Other people are. And Jesus Christ is the priority. And so Jesus said here that he needs to wash our feet. And he told the disciple he needed to wash our feet. And then he says there in verse 1, it says, his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them. He loved them, it says, unto the end. In other words, right after it says he knew he should depart out of this world, the very next thing it says, he loved them. Okay? The whole story about here is a demonstration of the love of the servant. You know why you should do what you do for the Lord? You know why you should serve the Lord? Because you love him. That's the reason you should serve. Listen, if you serve the Lord for any other reason other than the fact that you love him, you're not doing it for the right reason. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm going to serve him because I want rewards in heaven, that's the wrong reason. Now, listen, if you serve him, you're going to get rewards in heaven, but you should serve him because you love him. Amen? There are people today who say, oh, you know what, you Baptists, you just believe that you can live any way you want to, and just, you know, that once saved, always saved, that just gives you a license to sin, and so once you get saved, you can go out and live any way you want to. My answer to them is this. Listen, why would I do that? Why would I go out and live any way I wanted to? If I have the right relationship with Jesus Christ, that means I love him as my Savior. Amen? Listen, I love the Lord. And if you love somebody, then you want to serve them. If you love somebody, you want to please them. That's the reason why that Bible says that everything we do, we are to do to the glory of God. Why? Because we are to love the Savior that died for us. Why do you do what you do today? Jesus was teaching this. He says, not only am I going to sit here and wash your feet. Listen, I know I'm going to die today, but he loved them. He loved them. And so he was teaching them there as an example. I want to encourage you today, everything you do it because you love the Lord. And when people get to the point to where not willing to serve the Lord, then I question their love for the Lord. I question their love for him. You know, we are to do what we do because we love him. And he also taught us here that when Peter said, you can't wash my feet, and Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. What he is saying here is this. He is saying that which is dirty has to be cleaned. Has to be cleaned. You see, folks, as Christians, how many of you understand today that you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? The moment you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you were washed clean. And that's what he was talking about here to these disciples. He is saying one of you here is not clean, but the rest of you are clean. But that which is dirty still needs to be cleaned. That's the reason you wash your feet. And so every day as Christians, when we go out and we're in this world, we come in contact with the world. Amen? That's what we do. When we're out, we're talking to people. We sometimes when we're talking to people that aren't Christians, they use words that fellow ought not use. Use the Lord's name in vain. They talk about things they ought not talk about. We sometimes see things we ought not see. We sometimes hear things we ought not hear. Amen? And we see people do things that they ought not do. We come in contact with the world. And may I tell you that sometimes whenever we start to come in contact with the world, sometimes we get a little of that dirt on us from time to time. Amen? Now, everybody in this room has had it happen to them, where you start to pick up some of the habits of the world. You know the Bible says we're supposed to do with that? Got to get that stuff clean, amen? Got to clean it up. And so Jesus said, if these things are not clean, you have no part with me. Jesus here wasn't saying that you could lose salvation. He's saying that you need to have you need to have that part clean and for fellowship purposes. Not physically. We are to keep ourselves clean. Now, the third thing. Look how he did this. Not only does it say here, you know, what Jesus did and when he did it, but look how he did it. Notice at the end of verse 1 it says, he loved them unto the end. In other words, when he cleaned these people's feet, the disciples' feet, he did it lovingly. In verse 10, Jesus said to him, he that is washed, in other words, that's you if you're saved, you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, needeth not save to wash his feet. Why is that? Because their feet was what got dirty. Their feet was what came in contact with the earth, with this world. And so you don't need your soul saved again and again and again. Listen, your soul is saved forever. We know that. But you do need a trip to the altar every now and then. You do need to get right before the Lord when you start to live like the world, start to do the things that the world does, and you start to get away from the Lord. That's reading the Bible tells you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are to judge ourselves. If we judge ourselves, we would not need to be judged. We are to examine ourselves before the Lord, and so that there will be nothing that will affect your prayers. We need to keep ourselves clean. We need to keep our lives sanctified before the Lord. And every Christian in this room, from me, you, all of us, we need to make sure we stay right with the Lord. We need to keep a short account with God. And it should be every day. And as often as we sin, we should repent of that sin. And Jesus here is telling Peter, you just need to be washed that which is dirty. Now, notice also what Jesus said in verse 10. Now, notice that when he washed their feet, he did it lovingly. You say, where are you getting at here? Well, we do need to be clean. But notice he's saying that you need to wash each other's feet. If you see somebody that has gotten out of fellowship with the Lord, you are to go up there and say, you know what, and encourage them to get right with the Lord. You ask them if they're saved. They say, yeah, I'm saved. Encourage them to get right with the Lord. That's what the Lord was doing here. In other words, if he is saved, then obviously he's starting to act like the world a little bit, and he needs to get cleaned up. Amen? And so you walk up there and you encourage him to do that thing. Listen, as a pastor, that's what I'm going to do to you, but not just because I'm the pastor. If I see somebody in this church that starts to live a way they shouldn't live, or start to talk the way they shouldn't talk, or start to do the things they shouldn't do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up to them, and in a loving manner, with grace, I'm going to say, this is what you need to do. But folks, according to that Bible, that's just not my responsibility. It's your responsibility to do it too. That which has come in contact with the world is what needs to be clean. And so what are we to do? Not go around and wash people's feet physically, because that's not going to clean anybody up. Amen? Listen, folks, if you think that washing somebody's feet is going to clean up their soul, then why not just put them inside the baptistry and dunk them the whole way? Why? Because you're saved by grace, not by works. Amen? Faith alone in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that just when Jesus taught that right there, he taught you that baptism won't save you? In that passage right there in John chapter 13. You know how he taught you that? Because what did he wash on those disciples? Their feet. And he said, all of you are clean except that fellow right over there, Judas Iscariot. All you're clean all wit except for just your feet. Well, listen, if baptism would save you, you know what he would have done? He'd have washed them from head to toe. He went up there and dunked them in water, scrubbed them with soap or something. But he didn't do that. He says, all of you are clean except him over there. He's a devil. But the rest of y'all are clean, so I'm going to wash your feet. Why? Because that's what come in contact with the world. And then he says, this is an example for you to do the same thing that I'm doing. Humble yourself. Be a servant. Serve the Lord. And part of that is encouraging other Christians to keep themselves clean. Encouraging other Christians to keep clean that which has come in contact with the world. You know, one of the best things that you can do for other Christians, honestly, to help them keep clean from the world, is not only tell them to keep clean from the world, but invite them to church. Invite them to church. You know, at least when they come to church, maybe they hear some preaching that where the Lord can speak to their heart and let them know that they need to get clean before the Lord for fellowship's sake. Amen? And so Jesus said here in verse 13, he said, Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Talking about Judas Iscariot. And he did it, when he cleaned their feet, he did it lovingly. He also did it voluntarily. In other words, nobody made him do it. The Lord lovingly, voluntarily washed his disciples' feet, and that was all to show one thing, and that is if you're going to help someone back into fellowship with the Lord, if you're going to encourage somebody to turn from their sins and get back to serving the Lord, then you voluntarily, lovingly do it in a kindly manner. Again, you don't have to look down your nose at them, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to happen to you too. You're going to get away from the Lord from time to time too. So you know what you do? You don't look down your nose at them. You pray for them. You encourage them. You do it in a loving manner. And you do it voluntarily. You know, I've often thought about this passage, that if this passage were literal, which it's not, but if it were, you know, if I were to wash your feet today, which I'm not going to do, I'm just going to let you in on that, but if I were to do it, you know, what I wouldn't do is I would not go to the freezer and get a whole bunch of ice and dump it inside that bucket. And then take, you know, a little bit of salt, put in there and stir it up really good. Then take some more ice and stir it up really good. And then say, now put your feet inside that water right here and I'm going to wash them. I wouldn't do that. There's a right way and wrong way of washing somebody's feet. And obviously that's a wrong way, amen. I mean, you're not going to do that. I'll tell you something else I wouldn't do too. I also wouldn't go up here and take this get scalding hot water and put it inside that bucket either to wash your feet. I wouldn't do that either. Why? Because that's just the wrong way. That's the wrong way of washing your feet. But you know, there are a lot of Christians today that when they see another Christian messing up, the first thing they want to do is they want to just, I mean, boil them alive. I mean, they want to make sure that they understand they're messing up. You ever known a Christian that he lived every day just to watch you to see if you're messing up or not? That's kind of like taking that boiling water and put in there. There's also some Christians that are pretty cold towards other Christians when it comes to encouraging them. Not an encouragement at all. But what we need is we need Christians that will help each other out for the sake of the Lord. Not to try to make yourself look like you're better than somebody else. Listen, you don't go up and encourage another Christian to get right with the Lord because you're somebody. You do it because you're the servant of the Lord and you love Him and you want to see that person stay right. See, it's all about the motive that you have, folks. It's all about your motive. And I'll tell you something, when I see Christians getting nasty with other Christians, when I see Christians that will walk up to another Christian and look down their nose because that Christian's messing up, look down their nose at that person and start to scold them, that's just the wrong way of washing somebody's feet. You need to do it in a loving manner. Let me tell you this, like I said before, it's going to happen to you too. One of these days you're going to mess up. One of these days you're going to mess up, another Christian's going to see it. Now, I hope that Christian has enough backbone to actually come up to you and encourage you to get right with the Lord. I hope that happens. And when it does happen, you're not going to want him to scold you, are you? Let me ask you this. How are you going to react if somebody jumped up in your face and started telling you how bad of a person you are? Could be ugly. Amen? Could be ugly. Well, listen, don't do it to them if you don't want it done to you. We all mess up from time to time. But when we wash each other's feet, when we encourage each other to get right with God and to get clean that which can come in contact with the world, when we do that, we need to make sure we do it with grace. Aren't you glad that the Lord gives you grace when you mess up? Do you realize what, now listen, do you realize what the Lord could do to you when you mess up? I don't want to hear what you've done, but just think about the things that you've done since you've been saved. Think about the thoughts that you've had since you've been saved. Think about the things that, you know, the Bible says if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's a sin. Think about the things you could have done but didn't do them. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't go each time you messed up? Aren't you glad for God's grace? Then we need to give grace to each other. Why? Because a whole lot of grace has been given to you. If there's any reason, listen, any Christian today that would jump up and just be hard on another Christian and just jump up in their face, I tell you this, how would you like to stand before God on that one? And the Lord's sitting there telling you, these are the things I could have done to you, but I didn't, and here you treat this Christian like you have? When we interact with other Christians, when we're trying to encourage other Christians, that's not your chance to show how great you are, folks. Because I'll tell you this, we should all humble ourselves when we take a look at Jesus Christ and who He is. So we saw what Jesus did. We saw when He did it. We saw how He did it. And then in John chapter 13, look if you would at verse 15, and we're going to see why He did it. In John chapter 13, 15, it says, I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done. Jesus here is explaining to Peter that he was saved. He explained to him that he was washing his feet and showing him from time to time that Peter would mess up and that he needed to get himself clean. But you see, when a Christian has sinned and gotten dirty, it doesn't mean that you have to be saved again. It means that we need to get on our knees before the Lord and allow Him to clean us up. That's reading 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's if we will confess our sins to Him, admit that we did it. You say, wait a second, that passage is talking about salvation. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to show you it is not talking about salvation. Yes, the moment you were saved, yes, you were washed clean, absolutely. But you are still going to get dirty from time to time. And it's not that you're going to lose your salvation, but it is going to affect your fellowship with God. It is not talking about salvation. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Remember this, we learned when we're studying our Bible that we have to keep it within the context. Amen? It's all about the context. All right, in order to get the context, let's just start at verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, 1. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, capital W, that's the Lord. Amen. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our Father is with the fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So is it talking about having fellowship with God? Amen? All right. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, talking about us having fellowship with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, folks, he's talking to saved people here. And he's saying that if you say you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, that you're not being honest. Now look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, we are having fellowship with God and He's having fellowship with us. We're in fellowship one with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, what does it say? We deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. So he's saying every one of us has sinned. That's what Paul said. We said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you sit there and say you don't sin, then you're lying. Now, you know, not only the Bible tell you that, but we all know it. Amen? We know that. Now, look at verse 9. Now, remember, keep this in mind, it's all about fellowship. It's talking about Christians that sin, claim they don't sin. It's about Christians that aren't in fellowship with the Lord because of sin. In other words, they're walking in darkness. And the Lord's saying you're walking in darkness rather than light. And in order to be in fellowship with the Lord, you need to walk in the light. In other words, we're to have a Christian walk. We're to walk right. We're to do right. We're to serve the Lord. That's what we're to do. But we all mess up from time to time. We all get the filth of the world on us from time to time. We all start to do the things that the world starts to do. We mess up, and he's telling you that this is going to happen. You say, I don't believe that's going to happen. Then read Romans chapter 7 when Paul says, those things that I know to do, I don't do. Sin. And those things that I know I ought not do, I do them. Sin. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Paul had a problem with sin. Amen? So do we. So do we. But listen, you're not going to lose your salvation, but it will get you dirty. And when it gets dirty, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to get clean. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look what it says in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's telling you right here, you're going to sin. You're going to mess up. But when you do, confess the thing. Confess it before the Lord. And when you confess it, he'll clean you up. How's he going to clean you? Like he washed those disciples' feet. Not physically, spiritually. He's going to wash you up. And we're supposed to do that for each other. Now listen, I can't make you clean, but I can sure point you to the person who can. I can't stop you from sinning, but I can sure encourage you that when you do sin, to confess your sins and stay right before the Lord. That's what the whole foot washing thing is teaching. It's not saying that we should pour basins of water in here and start washing each other's feet, because honestly, like I said, if you make that literal, then you got lots of problems in that passage in John chapter 13. I mean lots. You've got one person right here that's not clean at all. You have the rest of them here that are clean. How did he end up not clean and him end up clean if all this is literal? He's talking about Judas Iscariot, who at that time was a devil. He had not obeyed the gospel, but you have the other 11 that had. And he's saying, I'm going to wash the part of you that gets clean. That's what the teaching of the foot washing is all about. Anybody have any questions on this? Just to let you know, we will not have any foot washing services at this church. Amen. Amen. Now, if you want to wash them feet, then you go home and do it. There's a place for that. It's not here. Amen. All right, let's pray.